2007 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3158. I'm sorry. I'll close that temporarily. We're going to do House Drug Memorial 15 first. Representative Cameron, please.
Can the general come up with me?
You bet.
Good afternoon, Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, State Representative Kevin Cameron, House District 19, Salem, Almsville, Turner, Northern Willamette Valley.
Mid Willamette, yeah.
Yeah. I'm here today to present House Joint Memorial 15, and really the reason that I was inspired to go to have this drafted was one of the days I heard the military budget, their presentation, and they described how far behind we were on our equipment here in the state of Oregon because of all the deployments we've had to various parts of the world. And with those troops goes the equipment, and to backfill some of that equipment in here, they're obviously getting old equipment and equipment that's run down and sometimes no equipment at all. And even when our troops come back, our equipment stays over there. So this memorial would encourage Congress and the President of the United States to get this stuff built and get it back here. So that's pretty much what it does.
Thank you. General Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department, and we certainly like the make sure the committee understands we're very supportive of this. I think from early on when this committee had a presentation by me of an overview of our agency, one of those issues that we brought up was the lack of equipment. For your knowledge, and we're estimating right now we're at about the 40% level of where we should be. So 60% of what we would normally have is either been deployed, or in some cases we didn't have it to begin with. And so there's certainly a big need of that. We're working, night and day, basically, literally, to maintain this equipment and to keep some of the older stuff that we've been able to find throughout the Army system. Give you an example, we have the old M35A2 trucks, which I know Brian would know what that is, and that's a Representative Boquist. Those are Vietnam-era trucks, and they're beat bad, and they're tired, but we're using those in lieu of a 5-ton truck we're supposed to have now. So those are the kind of things that we've learned to work around, and we've distributed our equipment at thin levels, whether they be machine guns, trucks, or whatever they may be throughout the force, so we can respond to any emergency here in the state, but it certainly is an impact. And we're absolutely delighted and would be thrilled to see the Oregon legislature memorialize this to Congress and make sure that that they know that the state legislatures do care about this sort of thing, and we're hoping they will get the equipment produced and get it to us.
Okay, thank you. I'll just comment that in my experience as a very low-ranking enlisted man, 45 years or so ago, that when we took our equipment with us that we trained on, things worked. And when we went somewhere and got somebody else's equipment, it didn't. And I think it's vital that you be fully equipped. And it's too bad you have to leave that stuff behind.
Mr. Chairman, I just comment that some of that equipment probably just well it is left after we leave. It's pretty tired, some of it is, by the time they get done with their missions. But some of it isn't. Some of it were brand new, 5-ton trucks that we took over, and they had 2,000-3,000 miles on them, and they didn't come home, so somebody else is using them. So that of course makes a problem for us. So yeah. I get home.
Okay, thank you, Representative Shockler.
Thank you. Yeah, for the life of me, I can't understand why we're leaving all that equipment over there, for one thing. I understand that this equipment that's gone, and the equipment that's still here, which is not of great repair, that's the same equipment that you would use to respond to a fire or an emergency here in this country as well. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schaffler, that is correct. And if you want, I can tell you why the equipment's left there.
That's good. I'd love to hear it. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schaffler, the primary reason the equipment is left there is because the National Guard and the reserve components of the Army, I'll just speak to the Army because I think it's more prevalent there, Basically, we're underfunded during the post-Cold War period. We were viewed as a strategic force, therefore the funding wouldn't be required to bring us up to 100% of modernized equipment fill. So what has occurred, of course, is now we've become an operational force where the National Guard throughout the country is no longer in deep reserve waiting a year or 2 years to be deployed into a situation. And so they started deploying the higher priority units first, vis-a-vis Oregon. And we were, since we were high priority and we had some high priority units, we had pretty much 100% fill of modernized equipment. Well, other states weren't modernized. Other states were still in the deep reserve piece for the last 20 years in the thought process of the Pentagon. So they didn't have this equipment. So when our guys took their stuff with them, then they were immediately said, you leave it here because the guys coming behind you never had it to begin with. So that's why the equipment's being left behind. And in some cases, we didn't deploy as early, but we had the equipment filled, so we were directed to send the equipment to the deploying unit. In any case, it depleted the cupboard severely. And, of course, this is a policy that was, I guess the only thing you can say is it was a bad policy. And it spans over a 20-year period. You can't put your finger on one particular administration or one particular Congress. It's just the thinking of the Pentagon, and I think they were mistaken when they came up with the policy. They should have recognized it post-Cold War. They did not. So that's how it happened.
And Mr. Chair,
yes.
And I don't even care who's responsible, Republican, Democrat, Bush, Clinton, I don't care.
Right.
I do want you men and women to be able to respond to emergencies in this country. And to be quite frank with you, you know, if this trend continues, it threatens the security of this country, I'd imagine. Now, I'm not an expert. You are. I'll let you speak to all that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Schaffer, I would agree. I think it does. I think it impacts us severely, and particularly on high-tech equipment that we are trained to operate and do that would help, you know, in a situation around here. And I mean, nothing's high-tech about a truck, but if you need it to move soldiers to a certain event, whether it be an emergency, a disaster, or any kind of homeland security event, you don't have it, it becomes problematic. And I think that's, and along with that goes radio systems, communication systems, and you start piling it on top of piling it on top, and it gets pretty bleak. And the most important part about it from our respect is that we need to be able to train our soldiers how to operate this equipment, whether or not they're being mobilized to go into federal service or whether they're being mobilized to go into state service. If they don't have an understanding how to mobilize or how to use this equipment during that mobilization, then we're not an effective force. You know, now I believe that if we went across the board, and again, like I said, we could mobilize and do just about anything that we can imagine at this point in this state, but we're not going to be as fast, and we recognize that, and we've realized that, and we've got systems that we're setting up or in process in our standard operating procedures. So if we see something coming, we got to be vigilant to look down the stream and see what's coming downstream, and then be able to mobilize those people and consolidate that equipment at a certain place at a certain time so we can respond when the governor asks us to. And we believe we can do that effectively here in the state of Oregon. We believe we can do that for a fairly sustained long period. But if we had to go, say, a month, and then on top of that we got a federal deployment coming up like we do this summer with 300 and some people going out, now we're talking problems because we don't have the equipment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just a comment, because I mean, the issue in responding to forest fires, which is the most common, pandemics, earthquakes, tsunamis, so on and so forth like that, I mean, these trucks, helicopters, dozers, kitchens, generators, if we aren't able to pull it out of the National Guard during that response time, we have to pay for it out of state general fund dollars and rent it on the street. And so the unfortunate circumstance here is for whatever reason, the Department of Defense and Congress has yet to actually provide backfill funding, even though we're pulling this equipment in. It's not in any of the supplementals. So the replacement dollars haven't been even budgeted for at the federal level yet.
Thank you. Any further comments? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'll open a public hearing on House. Well, I already did that. I'll close the public hearing and open a work session on HJM 15. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move HJM 15 to the floor with a due adopt recommendation.
Representative Cameron, wait a minute. Representative Cameron, would you like to carry this?
Oh.
If we pass it, would you like to carry it?
Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay.
I didn't know
that. Representative Shoffer moves HGM 15 with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any discussion? If not, the motion carries. And if you would carry, please.
Sure. Thank you very much for passing it.
Thank you.
I didn't have my ears open.
And I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3158.
House Bill 3158 allows an employer credit against income taxes for amounts paid as compensation to employees who are members of military reserves or National Guard or other organized militia during periods in which employees are providing active duty military service. Applies to tax years beginning on or after July 1st, 2007. Takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment sine die. This bill has a subsequent referral to revenue.
Okay. Mr. McDonald.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm Matt McDonald from the United Veterans of Oregon. This bill appears to be a win-win bill. It's a win for the serviceman that's activated in that he won't have a loss in pay when he leaves. It's a win for the company in that they'll have a loyal employee when he comes back. And it's a win for the state of Oregon in that it has a company that cares for its people at a very small cost to the state of Oregon. And we'd like to see the bill passed.
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
Are there any questions? Thank you. General Caldwell.
Mr. Chair, assuming we're waiting for a revenue impact statement.
Are we waiting for a revenue impact? Yes.
We haven't had one yet.
General, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, Deputy Director of the Military Department. We do support the bill. We think it's an excellent opportunity to actually do something. A lot of states have done this, and this is not uncommon. I would, however, point out one thing in the bill that we ran into, and we kind of learned this through some of these taxation bills, where we start talking Title 10 and Title 32. In line 12, it talks about service and status under Title 10 U.S. Code. In effect, what that does is everybody under the reserve components, except for the Guard, are in a Title 10 status all the time. We in the Guard were in Title 32 status. But I thought there was also a length of period that had to be accomplished here, too. But I don't see it. I'm just scanning it real quick. So you might want to take a look at that because, in effect, drill pay and for military reservists, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, Army reservists, and annual training pay would fall under that, where the Guard, only when they're on Title 10, which means they've been mobilized. So that'd be my only comment.
Okay. So it needs a little more work, is what you believe.
Mr. Chairman, I just think that I would take a look at that and ask the revenue folks, because we went down this path when we wrote legislation last session, when we talked about title going from Title 32 to Title 10 and back to Title 32, and we realized that all the reservists, it was too late, all reservists are in Title 10 except for the Guard. And so maybe there's a better choice of words to put in there that gets to the meeting without getting into the Title 10, Title 32 business, because that can some people will be excluded immediately from that, and other people will get more than I think you're intending to do here. What you're talking, I think, and your intent is to have people who are mobilized on federal active duty and come out of the reserve duty, i.e. 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer, like the advertisement says. And you're talking about folks that get put on active duty for an extended period of time. And maybe that's how we should say it, as opposed to using that title phrase, because, again, that does muddy it up a bit.
Okay. Thank you. And any other questions?
Follow-up questions?
Yes. Please.
It's the only time I get to do that to you, General.
You've done it before.
Yeah, I got my posterior shoes, too. So, just a question, Mr. Chair, Mike, just to make sure I understand you. What we're talking about here is where the employer we'll say hypothetically Nike for a better word, somebody gets deployed and because their pay is low, Nike then supplements their pay, right? Is that the category we're talking here? And so they're supplemented in that, and then
right.
Nike would get a credit, ensuring they got a credit for when they were paying an individual who actually wasn't working there.
Right.
They were just subsidizing him while they were gone and deployed. That's correct, right?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And again, you may want to do that for 2 weeks of annual training. That might be the public policy, good public policy decision. Certainly not suggested. The state does that. And all state entities, cities, counties, states do that right now. And that might be a good, great public policy, but we need to get the language correct. So also, if we do it for reservists, we need to do it for guardsmen.
Okay. Yes, Mr. McDonald.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe there's any company that pays when you go on 2 weeks active duty. They pay for extended active duty. I know you have Nike, you have Home Depot, and you have Sears that I know of in this state. But they only pay when you get called to active duty, extended active duty. That two-week period, they don't pay anything extra for.
No, they get 2 weeks of the military.
Okay, thank you. We'll just need to make that clear. We'll go ahead and get the language work. Any further questions? Okay, anybody else to testify? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3158. Any further business before the committee? Seeing none, we're adjourned. Thank you.